prayer.
Father, we thank you for this day. Let's pray that you would settle our hearts before you right now, Lord, because we don't want to come here with our head knowledge to know more about you intellectually. We want us to draw you to draw us in. That we can see you with our heart. And that you can just reveal your love and manifest it here today in and through us. And then as we hear your word, Lord, that you would give us an excitement within our heart to want to know you more, not just about you, but that in some way that it would pass through the intellectual into the light of faith, that we might enjoy you, remember by memory, day by day. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have a little build up before we get started, so we'll be a little bit before we get there, about 2 minutes or so. I don't know who was here when we were going through Luke 16. It's been a while. You know, when we come back, eventually, if you guys ever let me share again, it'll be chapter 17. But Luke 16:16 says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it." And I remember, and I don't know if I said it out loud, if you could hear the recording from that last teaching when I did it, or if it was just in my heart that I said, I'm not really sure what is meant by this, but maybe the Lord did wisdom. Or, you know, it's just like a little cry, a little prayer. I don't know if you remember when Judy asked when we were going through the beginning of Luke, she said, "What's it even?" Because it came up in Scripture. And we were like, oh, we'll look it up. So we studied a little bit, we talked about it, started the whole thing. This is kind of funny. There's just been some personal things for me, questions I've had on my heart. One was, and I don't know if any of you guys feel this way, and that is there more to this Christian life other than just existing and waiting for Him to return? Anybody ever feel that way? Like just the world you get tore down, and like inside you know there's something more. Good, you guys can teach. You don't feel that way? Anybody ever feel that way? Okay, all right, good. And I don't feel completely. One second. I'm about ready to start walking around, so I'll figure out how to fix that quick. So everybody's had that feeling. Yes, no, thought process. You guys don't have to communicate with me today, or you have to listen to me. I know, I'm just touching, but I can't see. So, I just got to the point where I'm like, Lord, there's got to be more. There's something. Sorry, I just can't see my notes.
No, I see. Made one comment.
Oh, no, it's like, I know I should have questioned. Okay, I don't know what I just did. Anyway. So it just was eating at me. Like, life gets you down and frustrated, and we get, I think, distracted. And you're probably wondering why I'm saying this all now, but I think that part of that is we as believers are waiting to go to heaven. And that's it. Where we've been taught that if you pray a prayer, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and Jesus is going to come get you someday. But until then, we all know those are true, right? But it's kind of like, what do we do while we're waiting? How do we abide? How do we continue to live in joy and have peace and rest instead of struggling and just being beat down? I don't know if you guys feel that way, but I don't even need to go around other people to get myself that way. And my own frustrations and then the things I will to do, I don't do, things I will not do, these things I practice. And we have all these things going on in our mind. And so when I read this, it like stood out to me because it's, I think it's a lot the ways that we live. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and people press into it. There's something about preaching the kingdom of God that gives people a desire to press in. At least that's what it's saying. There's something about it, the kingdom's being preached, that people want to press in. If I have another version that tells said anything other than pressing in.
Mine says, and everyone is forcing his way into it.
Everyone is forcing his way into it. It's a good thing, right? During the time when Jesus is going through all this, it wouldn't seem like people were really pressing in. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's coming against them and was trying to get them to wake up and see. So, I wanted to talk about this. The law and the prophets were until John. When you think of the law and the prophets, what do you think the purpose of the main purposes of the law and the prophets? When you read, what do you get from the law and the prophets? We're in the New Testament verse that actually just tell you what it's there for. The law. Let's start with the law. The law, up until John the Baptist he's talking about, right? So John the Baptist is how much older than Jesus?
A couple of months.
About six. Right? Somewhere in there. He's about 6 months older. So his ministry was before, and what was his message?
Repent.
Repent what?
Prayer. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Say it. Okay. You had it. And you had it. It's combined.
Repent for the kingdom of God.
See, even John taught repentance with teaching that it's the kingdom of God that came. The children of Israel were living in a way that were looking for a king, right? They were ready. They weren't ready for the king that they received. We know that because he said he came to the right and they received enough. But before John, the law was taught. Before John, prophecy. They looked at prophecy. What does that mean to you? Like, think about it. When he said the law before, or the law and the prophets were until John, what does that mean? Think about the law. Why was the law given?
It was given to lead us to Christ.
Okay.
Christ.
I'm sorry?
To lead us to Christ.
So the law was to lead us to Christ. Anything else?
The law was given to the Israelites.
The law was given to the Israelites. By the verse.
I'm just thinking, show us sin. Show us that we were sinners.
Okay, we are in need of a Savior. Galatians 3:21-25 says, the law then, is the law against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ may be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith, but after faith has come, we're no longer under the tutor. That definition, this is the New Testament, gives us the reason why the law was given at all. And that was just so that when you read the law, that you came to a point where you came to say, I can't do this. I need a Savior. Right? Okay. How about the prophets? When you consider prophets, like, what do you think that their main message was?
Repent.
Repent with some.
Come
coming of the kingdom.
I'm sorry?
Coming of the kingdom.
Coming of the kingdom, yes.
Jesus and a Savior.
So we're looking for a Messiah, mm-hmm. right? A coming Messiah, one who was promised to come.
Those are warnings.
Yes, and warnings. Coming of the Messiah and the coming of the kingdom of God. Right? It looked forward to when Jesus was going to come back and reign and rule. Right? So even though that there's multiple pages in this, that they would talk about, they would look at the Lord and speak of the Lord, but in the same time they would be speaking of a future event. It's why the Israelites were misunderstanding Jesus' first coming. They were looking for him to come. The disciples always said, is it this time the kingdom's in here? Is it this time you're going to set up your kingdom? Is this time you're going to be established? You see, they had an understanding that when Jesus came to reign and rule, that there would be no earthly ruler, that they were going to be able to submit under him. And so they got thrown for a loop when he didn't come and rain down his wrath and set up his earthly kingdom. And so a lot of people got confused. But in the gist, if you look at it, I just pulled out Daniel chapter 9 just to give you an idea, because it kind of talks about it. 70 weeks, Daniel 9:24 says 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Notice this is what was promised. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. It's kind of like Daniel got this prophecy given to him, and it kind of sums it all up. He's talking about everything. This is when it's going to end, and then anoint the most holy. Now, you can talk about different things, when that happened, or and stuff like that, when Jesus was here the first time. But I think if we can agree that the prophets were looking to Jesus and for Jesus to set up a Messiah, and a Messiah who was going to set up an earthly kingdom. We know Jesus came. We know he is the Messiah. And we know that we're still waiting for the earthly kingdom. Right? Okay.
Well, in some ways we are, in some ways we're not.
Correct. Don't be getting ahead of the study, Jesus. Okay, we're done. She got it. We're done. But did anybody remember, it was kind of neat as we were going through the seed parables last weekend. Ed just said something like really neat. He said, every kingdom has a ruler. Right? So Jesus says the kingdom of God is being preached, and they press in. You see, when the law was preached, that's not what happened press in. When the kingdom is preached, they press in. Can anybody think why? Maybe this was a hard question for me to understand. I don't know if anybody has any insight, share it. Yeah, but in our minds, we condemn ourselves according to the law that we know a lot of times.
Yeah.
Right? And then, so we, even though we live within the kingdom of God and are part of the kingdom of God, we still fall back on the law and prophets. And what happens? We tend not to press it. We get condemnation. We run. But if we understand the King, and who he is in his heart, I think it changes our understanding of the kingdom. And I truly believe that many of us, day by day, don't have a true grasp, and I'm not speaking of myself, of what love really is. Because our King is love. Now, let's read it this way. Since then, the kingdom of his love has been preached, and everyone's pressing into it. Is there anybody in here that doesn't want love? No? Oh, good. We act like it. it sometimes, don't we? Forgive me, I've got all these notes and I can't keep up. So it's really important to come, when we're looking at the kingdom, when we're talking about, and quite honestly, as we get into this, I believe this is an opportunity for us to see the Lord's heart in how we are to preach. You see, I don't need to go and tell people about the law. I don't need to go and talk about prophecy. We need to talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of His love. And so for us to want to press into it, because we all have a desire to be accepted, right? We do a lot of things for the fear of man, so people might accept us for who we are. But we have a king who has accepted us in the beloved. Right? So how does our king rule? That's a question. How you answer these questions are going to determine how you walk day by day in fellowship with the Lord. How? Okay, first off, is the kingdom of God established right now? Or is there a kingdom of God? Okay, and where is that? In heaven, yeah, but you guys are getting ahead. Jesus says in John 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. So, I think what he's saying is ultimately is if we take the time and take what you've given to us and that's within us and share it, people will press in. Now, I do know that as we get into chapter 17, it starts with persecution and trials. Know this, that when you decide to start preaching and living and walking in the kingdom of His love, not everybody's going to accept it. Not everybody's going to enjoy and want love. They're not used to it. I can say that because Jesus did it perfectly and He wasn't accepted until they saw a risen Lord. Right? And so, we need to be, when I say these things, I'm not trying to say something that will get you through a mushy, easygoing life here on this earth. But I think that if we understand truly what it is to walk into the grace of His kingdom and His love, that He will become our strength. I think that's scriptural. And that His desire is for us to know Him. So as we consider the king's heart and how he rules and interacts with people, what are some of the ruling characteristics of our king?
Well, I know we were just talking about this, the Bible study. I know in Jeremiah, when he talks about what to boast about, he says, boast about this, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. So it says, tells us to boast about the kingdom of God and His kindness and His justice and His righteousness.
So our king is kind.
He's kind.
He's good. Right? Keep going. Look, the reason why this is important.
Compassion.
The reason why I want you guys to really think of it and verbalize it is because as we get to understand who He is, and I can say, my king is good. My king is kind. And if it's He, by faith, I will come to a place to understand that's how He works with me. The Lord works with you in kindness. The Lord works with you in goodness. Anything else? Carol?
Forgiving.
Okay. We have a forgiving ruler. Yay. We don't have a condemning ruler. We have a forgiving one. Anything else? What do we know? The characteristics of God.
Merciful.
He's just.
Merciful.
Merciful.
Patient.
Patient. Anything else?
Oh,
1 John 1:5 tells us that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. So as we seek the Lord, He's going to illuminate our understanding. Right? Psalm 138:2 says, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. And that's another one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So then when we come to our King, He's not going to tell a little fib to you. He's going to speak the truth and love that we might grow up in all things. Right? That's what the scriptures say. The scripture then here says that He's loving kind and your truth. It says, for you have magnified your word above all your name. You see, and the psalmist understood that there are so many things about the Lord that we that can be out there, but He says here that He's magnified His word above His name. He's defined His character and put it in here for us that we might know Him. Not to know about His righteousness and ruling, waiting for judgment and for His wrath to be poured out, but that He can reveal His love to us. And that we can be free to rest and trust in Him. So we know that He's light. We know that He's truth. It's a big difference in our kingdom we're living in. You can't get a straight answer, and when something comes out and they answer a question straightly, usually it's a lie. Right? We don't know what to believe. That's why we can come to His Word and to seek Him, and that He will give you wisdom. James says what? Anyone lacks wisdom? And God might give it? No, He says He'll give it freely without reproach. So I think we have a different King that we can settle our hearts before to live in that kingdom. And as we already mentioned, it's not that we're waiting for that kingdom to come so much as we can enjoy the kingdom now. I know there's a lot of teachings out there about your best life now and the kingdom, you know, that's not what I'm saying. Look, the truth is the more I know Jesus and He opens up His heart to me and reveals Himself to me here, that is the best life I can have on this earth. That's true. But it's not finances. It's not everything being smooth for you. It's understanding that love He has for us and the joy that He has in us. I mean, do you realize the Creator of the universe, the One who made heaven and life for you and me, takes joy in you? We have a King that knows us intimately. Takes care of all our needs. And all we're asked to do is to rest and trust Him. And walk with Him. Right? That's kingdom living. Where I know my King. And I does that mean I need to obey? That's the kingdom I'm planning on living in. He stands to be here of Christ. Is what He wants to work out in and through us as we walk there. I mean, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have flesh. Right? I mean, we won't live in the flesh, I should say. All these other things are questioning how it all works. But we won't be ruled by our flesh.
I'm hoping it works better than that day longer.
Yeah. So we can come to Him for light. If you feel like you're walking in darkness and don't understand and things are clouded, we come to the Lord because He is light. And we're told in Psalm 119:105 that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So we can, He's confined Himself to His Word so that we can seek Him through His Word and get to know His heart. And as we know His heart, we can freely walk in that, because I don't know too many people that fight against someone like that loves a mate that loves them. And if they do, the relationship usually don't last there. Right? Nowadays, even shorter. We do things out of motivation for love. Because why? Because I don't want to do this because I might hurt that person. And when I do things willfully, it hurts somebody that I really love. That doesn't seem like love. So we have a Lord that's light, a Lord that, and that was my next one, is we have a Lord who is love, right? 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. What does that mean? I think that's important. What does it mean that we have a God that loves? Well, here's what 1 Corinthians says about love. I know we read it in weddings. But it says, love suffers. So if God is love, and he's our king in the kingdom of God, this is how he is going to act. Always. Because can God act against his character? Can he act against who he is? So, if he is love, every time he's ministering to you, and to me, and to each of us, it's going to be filtered through love. So when you screw it up, that's what I say to my mess it up. You blow it. We don't have the same father as our earthly fathers. We have a heavenly father that will walk in love. Doesn't mean there's not discipline. But the way discipline comes is through love. He doesn't discipline us just to show us that we're wrong. Did you discipline your kids to show them that they were wrong, or to teach them what is right? Sorry? Somebody said something. I didn't. Oh, okay. That's okay. Right? Am I wrong? Right? You know, it's not how we always act, is it? Okay, so 1 Corinthians 4, just think about this. The Creator, the lover of your soul, who has put all things and holds all things together. This is what the scriptures say, because it says God is love. So this is Jesus. Love suffers long and is kind. You see, after putting up with it, us, which we don't do many times in the end, we get the end of ourselves, and I don't think kindness comes out. Usually not with me. Right? But he ends with the fact that it says he suffers long and he's kind again. So that when you come to him as the king, the ruler of your heart, because if the kingdom of God is within you, that means we have a king who's within us that wants to reign and rule with us. He's going to walk with us in love and suffer long. That means he doesn't quit. Love does not envy. Pretty sure there's nothing we have he wants. Except us. Which is the most important. Love does not break itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Does not provoke. Thinks no evil. Do you guys really understand that when the Lord's dealing with you and your faults and failures and your striving and struggling, that he thinks no evil towards you? I hope this gives you joy. I hope these make these choices, and if you understand his heart, it makes you want to press in to know him. You see, that I think a lot of times we read over and we go fast and we get distracted and we get beat down and frustrated and we just forget our King. So he doesn't seek his own, he's not provoked, thinks no evil. Everybody else there too? Okay. Then we better keep reading. does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. If love never fails, what does that mean? You're living in the kingdom of God. He never fails. He won't fail. He'll keep His word. He will walk with you in love and be kind. It's a completely different nature than we see every day. Anybody see all that on the news? Why? Because it all it does is rip people down, tear everybody up, and starts wars. Or murders or wars. I mean, it's just sitting. So it just reveals the heart of the Lord for us. But not, I think there's something even in that we all even stop there. Do you guys understand that? That's Jesus, right? But do you really understand that that's the heart of the Father? Do you know that the Father feels the same way? Because many times people look for the Father in the Old Testament was a mean dad. Thank God for Jesus. Right? That's how a lot of people look at it. But what we learn is that somehow that's not true. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same heart and mind and character that Jesus walked in is the same heart and mind of the Father. It was His plan from the beginning. And do you guys want to know how I know if it was the heart of the Father and the same, other than just saying that they're one? Can you guys think of any way we know that God's heart and Jesus' heart is aligned?
Because Jesus only did what His Father showed
him. That was too easy.
I'm sorry.
See, you guys get A's on all your tests with me. For I have not spoken on my own authority. This is John 12:49-50. This is Jesus speaking. I have spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. What should I say and what should I speak? And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. What is Jesus saying right there?
He represents the Father.
When Jesus says, I love you, that's the Father telling Him to express His heart to you. The Father loves you. It's important. They're all the same. It's the same God. John 14:10-14 says, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the words that I speak to you? I do not speak in my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe. That's Jesus talking. There's your King. Believe me. It's not just my own authority. I'm not down here doing what I want to do. Everything I do is from the heart of the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Something to think about. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, now I want to read this, and I want you guys to really ask yourself, do I believe it? Jesus is speaking. And anything I ask, I'm sorry, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Father, sir, they're a little different than me. This is not saying that I'll give you everything you want. I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to take care of your needs. And if you read it in the context, it's talking about knowing Him and things like that. So, I'm hoping that I personally, when I started seeing, okay, well, impressing, well, yeah, I want love. Yeah, it'd be really nice to live in a kingdom where everybody loved one another, built one another up, encouraged one another, and didn't care for their own life, but cared for the needs of the others as much. I think that sounds like a fun kingdom to live in. Why do we fight it so much? At least for me. We get distracted. So if we have no, what is the laws now that we have to live under or are supposed to live under? Is there a law? Richard?
Yeah, the law of love.
What is that law of love?
It's a person of Christ because of the law of love. It's a new, it's a person in action working within. You think about it as God is doing a great work. The law, like you said, was against us. It was holy, just, and good. But the Bible says the law killed it. But the Spirit gave it life.
Mm-hmm.
So the law, in and of itself, apart from Jesus, left us undone. But it would reveal that we are in trouble. We need a deliverer. But then Christ come and did what the law couldn't do. To save us from our sins, and He gave us new life that He could live from the inside out, and then the outside would no doubt reflect His character and nature as we draw from Him. And it's living in who He is, you know, as He's a person of love, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, and so James tells us to fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor.
So that same kingdom that we're living in, we're to walk in and express what you've received freely give. Right? Does anybody have any questions or thought about the kingdom part? Pressing in? Agree, disagree, I'm open. It's what the Lord's just laid on my heart.
Well, Titus really good encouraging me to, you know, like, have much to do, we don't like to do, but we are in this world, so we get glimpses of fake news, true news, questionable news, whatever it is out there. But focusing on the good news is, I think, now more than ever, as believers, totally the key, because when we are in this, we do have Jesus doing. We don't have worry. We don't have frustration. We don't have wonder. We don't, you know, like, there's nothing we can do to change the powers that be. And even the rumors of the hopes of, well, this is, you know, it's kind of like with the Jews, you know, like, Jesus is going to set up this kingdom. He's not about this earthly kingdom. And so in this fallen world is what causes us to cry out to Him. So His ways are not our ways, you know. So if anything, this is like probably revival happening that we don't necessarily see because we are in a funky, swirly, social distance kind of thing. But just the joy that we have. We had friends, daughters this weekend. Just the fellowship, just chewing on God's word. And I met some Steve and Damien in Walmart, and just, you know, big Jesus. God served, you know, so I gave him a high five and we just had a little talk about Jesus and just encouraging one another in that love and that truth and that joy. And if we run into non-believers, then that's bonus. If God opens a non-believer's heart to come to Him, awesome. But I think right now it's about discipling the disciples and abiding in that kingdom that you're talking about, that love and that joy.
gifts that we have and not being, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we don't want to be draped with that oppression that most of this world is having. We are walking with the light, love, joy, kindness, every gift that you put within us, because God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And so amen. That's a good message for us to just rejoice in the kingdom that we are already living in right now. And that's what, if anybody is going to be drawn to Him, it's going to be that supernatural work that only God can do in the first place. But I believe there are many believers who have lost this illumination that you're focusing on right now, because they are so wrapped up thinking that this kingdom has got to be, we are Americans. God bless America. He does want this for us. Well, we kind of kicked Him out. So.
Yes.
I share this, a couple of verses. It's Matthew 12:27. And it just it goes along with what we were talking about God and Jesus, the Father and the Son. But I think it's beautiful because it's Jesus' words. And He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Come to me, and this is the part that just gets me all the time, because come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. And it helps me so much in these trying times, because I have this compulsive need to control things, I think. And I don't know if it's really, as I get older, I feel more anxious. And I think that, not that I want to control things, but I think I have to. There's this thing like, I've got to take care of this. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just love that He says, I just come in. He will take that burden.
Whatever your burden is, there's a list. You can make a list. What He says is, if you have a burden, come. If you don't have one, come. Right? So I did want to read some verses because I think it kind of, okay, so could we all kind of agree as we go by day to day that we really don't get to see the Lord a whole lot? Or is that just me? Might be where I work.
I got a verse.
What's that?
I have a verse to read.
Okay.
James 1:25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
Maybe I didn't word that right. I don't know. What was that verse again?
James 1. James 1:25. Yes.
James 1:25.
Because when you were talking about what law,
right,
the law of liberty came to my mind, so I started looking for the law of liberty.
Right. Yep.
So, real quick, I was going to say how Ed started up here with creation, and how as we know the God of creation, that we see Him in all of the details. Great call. So,
So I've kind of gotten things simplified in my own life. God created man and female in the image of God who created them, right? And He put them in a garden where He wanted them to tend and to fellowship with Him, correct? We were told that He walked in the cool of the day with them. For some reason, they got kicked out. Anybody remember? They blew it. Right? They blew it. But if you guys read Revelation, it's another garden. God's plans have not been thwarted. God's plans haven't changed. He created us to have fellowship with Him, to be His children in His kingdom, where we are to have to run and have dominion over it and rule and reign with Christ. That's what's going to happen in the end, right? It's what we're taught and promised. I think that's why we're all looking for the kingdom of God. There will be no end. So his plan doesn't change. How he's working within that plan might change a little bit, but he's the same. He said, put him in the garden. I want to enjoy fellowship. These are my children. And so when people are born now, they're still created in the image of God. Every person. Do you guys know that? Even an unbeliever? Do you guys know that? You know where? The Bible teaches that. You know where? In Genesis 9, where he says it, in the talking about murder, he who sheds man's blood. I have to find it. There's a reason why I'm saying this. I don't know. We'll get there. But thank you. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. Doesn't say they have to be saved. And remember, this is around right after the flood. Right after the flood, yeah. So, it has not changed. Human beings are made in the image of God. The problem is human beings aren't imaging correctly. They're not walking out who they are. They're not walking in the full potential of all that God's created them to be. Even in our own eyes. The more we know Him and become like Him, the more we will image Him. Would we say that's true? So that as we get to know our King and His character, we're learning how to live within the kingdom. The things that motivate him should do a work in our lives. We should be motivated by love. We should be motivated by love. We should be motivated by truth. And the things that are on his heart, I think he works in our hearts so that we have the same heart, the same mind. But when I asked that, it's like, okay, maybe I didn't ask that right earlier about you guys not see Jesus a lot when you're out in your day and stuff. Maybe would you like to see him more? How about that? Okay. So what I want to share with you now is a lot of works. If you do it on your own. If you try to do it on your own. This isn't a work. It's a life. Everything that Jesus did was through his character and his life. Correct? Okay. Hebrews 12, I taught this in Scotland. And the Lord keeps opening up. But 12, verses 12 to 14 says, therefore, these are just, I'm going to read some verses that are going to just talk about how just practical life should walk out. And as I read these things, like, you guys, when you read the letters, many times we go to the end of the chapters and we get all these things that we should be doing without understanding who we are in Christ. Well, I know I'm going to be doing that a little bit today, but I want you to understand that my desire is there some practical ways that we, as believers, can live that I think bring forth the kingdom that make people desirous of it, that want to press in. And here we go again. I was also on these. And I won't be hopefully too much longer. Hebrews 12, I got 12, 12. Please.
Alright. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord.
Everybody see the practical working in that? Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight paths for feet. Pursue peace with all people. Why? At the end, here's what's happening, and I think this is why most people aren't seeing Christ a lot, without which they want to see the Lord. It tells us there's a way to live where people don't see Jesus. If you have no care or concern for your fellow brethren, and as we interact with one another, if there is no care and you have no desire to help them along, that's contrary to Christ. They're not going to see him. Right? If I live contrary to the heart of God, people aren't going to see God. That's what that verse is saying. And guess what? I'm pretty sure by the end of every day, every one of us is safe. And feeling feeble, hands hanging low, and beat down a lot of time. And so I encourage you, Lord, give me a word to encourage. Aren't we to comfort one another with the comfort with which we have received? Well, when I'm weak, who comforts me? Sometimes. Sometimes she said, I'm going to bed and I don't care. That's because she went to rest. See, you got needs, Jesus got to go, I'm going to rest. That's okay, dude. But seriously, consider, think about it. If people are hurting, we live in a lost and fallen world with not much of Jesus, and we have opportunities. I think we're waiting for this supernatural power inside and feel all goosebumps to go talk about people to share the kingdom. This is talk about... This is, in a way, that I think should free us all up for evangelism. If I understand who I am in the kingdom and who my king is, I can just share the kingdom. There's a loving Father out there who sent his son to lay down his life for you. But if you would believe, you have everlasting life. And not only that, he said he won't leave you as an orphan. But he'll come in with you and die with you. And he will leave the Holy Spirit, the Helper. You see, he's there looking to lift up, to strengthen. Proverbs 3:5, you guys know it, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right? Lean not on your own understanding and all your ways, acknowledge it. And he might direct your path. No, he says he will. And then it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. This is verse 7. Many times we stop there. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. See, there's things we can do. We can depart from evil and it's going to help our lives and bones. Why? Because it's going to deal with your conscience. It's kind of hard to walk surrendered to the Lord when you know you're walking in sin and have fellowship. And by, like, I won't use that example. Well, there was a time when he was started doing something that she hadn't done for a long time, but I noticed, like, she was, like, pulling away a little bit. And then finally one night she's like, I can't do this anymore. I just got to cut it. Because she recognized it was pulling us apart. Just because she was trying to hide a little thing. And of course I was very upset now. I was very gracious. Just did I kind of combined a bunch of things there just to not to cover my wife. No. I'm sorry. But there's just times that, anyway, I lost my track. You guys could be laughing so much. But just depart from evil. The things you, I mean, like, I know that, I don't want this to be a work, but he who knows to do good and doesn't do it is sin. If there's something the Lord's working in your heart and you choose not to do it, you're falling short of the perfection he wants in you. You're falling short of the goodness to your bones and the fresh and the joy of the Lord. That's your choice. That's just choosing not to do something good. And he knows to do good and doesn't do it. It's sin to him, right? And then what's the other one? I love these verses.
I was going to say either be hot or cold, like he doesn't want that lukewarmness, so we'll just spit it out. Like, they don't say you're a Christian and be doing opposing things. Better to say, yeah, I'm not living for him and be living a while from that.
All right, here's another, a couple more. Here's another verse. Flee youthful lusts. This is 2 Timothy 2:22. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. These are just practical things that we can do to enjoy the kingdom. Notice it's from a pure heart. I want to know my King. I don't want to do this just for benefits, because that would be not truthful, would it? It's not walking in truth if I'm trying to do this for this, and rather just do it because I want to love, just because I love. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of the water, by the word. That he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. There's ways that we can walk out and live in life and just surrender to the Lord. Look, I'm not trying to force, like trying to make you feel like you got to go do this, but if you feel like you can't, I hope you do, in and of yourself, feel like the things I'm sharing are impossible without God. Because with God, all things are possible. Right? And see, just as the Father sent the Son to redeem us, he wasn't done there, because Jesus says, don't hold on to me, I gotta go. Right? To Mary? Because I haven't been glorified. Why? Because he needed to send the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that the whole, when Jesus ascended, that he sent down the Holy Spirit, and he said that he will be your helper. You have a helper within you. And guess what? The Holy Spirit and God are one. Same heart, same character. He will always lead you into truth. He will always lead you into the light. He will always lead you in love. So you have the same God within you. I will never leave you as orphans, right? You see, you don't. God's not telling you these things, and that's why I said when you read the letters, you always get who you are and your identity in Christ. Like Ephesians 1-3 or 4, Galatians 1-3 or 4. All of them. At the beginning, it's your foundation, and the rest of the script, the rest of the chapters are if you believe this. This is what you're walking in. If you believe this, this is what you're walking in. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I've skipped a lot. But it says, and I read earlier, if you lack wisdom, let him ask. He said that the Lord wants you to have all you need that pertains to life and godliness. And the real truth is, it tells us that you're complete in him. That's what the scriptures say. You're complete. You feel it? If you're not feeling it, you got to get to know him more. Because he says you are. Being confident in this very thing that he's begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, right? So I'm complete, but I'm being completed. What does that mean? Everything that God has for me is already there. I just need to be walking awareness of, and rest and trust in him. It's already there. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what?
All else will be added unto thee.
Promises. How about that's enough? The one thing I wanted to read that was like really hit home was like Luke 11:26 at the end, verse might call it B, whatever you want to say. It says, and the disciples were first called Christians in the Antioch. We're very good to call ourselves Christian, but if the outside world looks at our lives and they look down, look, that was a derogatory term. That wasn't meaning anything good when they called them Christians. That wasn't a good thing. But boy, would it be nice if the world would look out and say, I don't know much about them, but I can tell they've been with Jesus and they're Christians. That we shouldn't go out saying, I'm a Christian. That they look at my life and come to a place and say, that person knows Jesus. And I just think that there's an ability, well, we have the ability because we have Him. And so I hope that this makes sense. I hope that it brings any clarity. It did for me. I hope I'm bringing it forth the way, Lord, because it's going to expand. It's going to, if you really get to a point where you understand that you're walking fully in the kingdom right now, and you have an opportunity, every person you come across to let them know about the Jesus you love. And it can be just in your life. It doesn't have to be words. Your actions speak more than your words do. So I just encourage you just to continue to seek, get to know Him. Ask Him to lead you, ask Him to guide you, open up your understanding, give light to the situation. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Why? What's the rest of the verse? For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Mercy triumphs over... Okay, anybody in here want judgment? Anybody? Judgment is getting what you deserve, right? I'll take the judgment right now. Because Jesus was judged for me and now I'm a son. Right? Daughter. Remember that you are His. And His desire is that you know Him and that through that you walk in a way that people should be drawing in. And I encourage you, Hebrews 1 tells us that God in various times and various ways and times past spoke through us to your prophets, but now He has spoken through His Son. I encourage you to go read Matthew through John and read the red letters and ask yourself, oh my gosh, Jesus is walking the kingdom out. He's teaching the kingdom. He's walking out what that should look like. And just like He was doing with the Pharisees and trying to get them to think clearly, what's it, Colossians, beware, brethren, anyone cheat you with empty philosophy and empty deceit. You know, His desire is to speak truth, love, that they would press and draw. And I think we can live that way by His grace as we fall in love with Him and get to know who He is. And He's naturally going to live through His life through us as we yield. Practical ways. You don't have to wait for this supernatural, oh, I feel led. Well, if you're walking in love, you will be. Because we were crying out when He decided to come. You see, there's a way that love will motivate you before you're forced to do something. That you can walk in a way that He'll give you wisdom to walk it out, to show you how to enter into someone's life and to minister. So it might be a word of knowledge. It might be just be there. To strengthen the hands. To lift them up. And with that, I'll let you go. I did was going to, but I ran my mouth too long. But when I was reading and going through all this, it made me think of I don't know hymns very well, and I don't know why this came to my heart. It says they will know we are Christians by our knowledge. It's not it. It doesn't matter how much you know, it's who you know. And as you know Him, walk with Him, believing and trusting. And it's actually Psalm 119, so if anybody wants to practice it, we can read it and sing it sometime. But Let's pray.
Father, we do. I just thank you, Lord, for your grace. And we don't live in a kingdom with a scatterbrained king. One that changes his mind. That we can follow knowing that you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your love never fails. Lord, help us to walk in the fullness of who you are day by day. Lord, you tell us that how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask to be our helper, our comforter, and God. So Lord, we ask, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Touch our lives so that you can touch others. We thank you in Jesus' name.